It is my joy to welcome you to today's podcast. Our prayer is that the Lord will minister to you in a special way during our time together.
Last weekend, probably one of the holiest weekends of all the season for the Christians. Look at it, how holy it was. Started from the Palm Sunday to the Maundy Thursday to Good Friday. I don't know, they don't have any name for the Saturday, but Silent Saturday, I just made it up, to the Easter Sunday. Every day was so, so important. And all of you who came to church would have noticed like how beautiful all our services were, how full. And every service was so unique and so good. And in case you missed it, like, oh no, I missed that special weekend. Don't worry. So do you know what they call the Sunday after Easter? It is called the Low Sunday. Nothing spiritual about it, absolutely nothing. And it's not in the Bible. But it's called the Low Sunday because it's very, very low. If you look to your left or right, probably you will not see your neighbor. And that, and if that was on Good Friday, you didn't have one single seat empty here, nor on the Easter morning. It was packed. So much of high and hype, celebration. It was so, so good. And now, some people are missing. They're not raptured. It's just that it's called the Low Sunday. People are back to their own schedules, doing their own things. And things are different today. That's why it's called the Low Sunday. But don't worry. And I have entitled my message, From the Low Sunday, L-O-W, to the L-O Sunday. So that is the title of my message, and you'll get to know that as we get along. So in case you missed the Easter party, the Good Friday holy service, don't worry. There are many people who did not make it. Not that they died, they just missed it. Some, due to some reason, probably they could not get up early in the morning from their beds. Jesus rose from the grave, but they did not have, you know, that urge to get up, so they slept through. But there were many people also in the Bible who missed the Easter. Surprise, yeah. Including, I'm not talking about the armed junta, but there were many, many people, including the disciples of Jesus, who missed the Easter party. We'll get to that. Jesus kept saying to them while he was walking with them, saying that I will suffer greatly. I will die, but yet I will rise up again. They did not understand, like, Jesus, what are you talking? Doesn't make sense to us. They did not believe his words. But yet on the other side, there were Pharisees. There were people who were not supposed to believe, but they took his words very seriously. Look at them. Matthew 27 talks about that the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that this man, while he was alive, the deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give orders for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples will come and steal the body, and it'll be worse than the first one." The people who were not supposed to believe took his words very seriously. If the disciples took his word seriously, they should have been there at the tomb waiting for the glorious resurrection. Right? But none. There was nobody near the tomb. How sad and depressing is that? Now that's definitely a Low Sunday. They were all sad and depressed. Their master, the teacher, has gone, and they were all in hiding, in fear, probably up in the upper room. They didn't want to get out because of the persecution. Definitely a Low Sunday. But something good happens. The resurrection happens. Jesus wakes up and from the dead. And now, instead of the disciples coming to the tomb, he's visiting them. So let's pick up the story from John 20, verses 19 and 20. And this is what it says. On the first evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fears of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So this is the first interaction, first meeting that Jesus is meeting his disciples. And if I were Jesus, I would look at them, you miserable bunch of hopeless people. You betrayed me. None of you showed up at the cross. Nobody came to invite me. Those would have been my words. And thank God, it was not mine. Gentle Jesus, he looks at them and says, peace be to you. How considerate, how loving, how forgiving. Jesus said, peace be with you. None of them were there. Verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where his nails were and put out my hand into his side, I will not believe. Whoa. So the first resurrection party gathering, Thomas missed it all by 1 week. He did not show up. It's amazing to know that he walked with Jesus. He was part of the 12. He missed it all. So you're not alone. In case you missed it, there is hope for you. And this morning time, I'm going to just pick up three characters who missed the Easter party. And Thomas comes first. One of the 12, intense in his faith and his belief, often known as the doubting Thomas. That's where the word doubting Thomas comes from. And if you have to ask me, so Thomas excused himself from that gathering, from that party. What was the reason? I don't know. I really don't know. Was he afraid? Was he sulking? Was he fearful? We don't know. But let me just break and ask you. So in India, when we don't have to go to work or when we miss some classes, we often write notes and letters. So I'm going to just read some of these here. And this is not British nor American. This is Indian English. So here it goes. As I'm suffering from my uncle's marriage, I cannot attend the class. Okay. As I'm studying in the school, I'm suffering from headache. I require you to leave me today. This is epic. As my headache is paining, please grant me leave for a day. Okay, this is for all the husbands. As my mother-in-law has expired and I'm responsible for it, please grant me 10 days leave. So, I didn't write. This is generally and often written in jokes, and some of them are very serious, so take it. If Thomas had to write a letter to Jesus, why he's missing the first Sunday, why he missed the church, I don't know what excuse he would give to Jesus. I don't know. Do you think he was with all the 11 up there, fearfully bundled together out of persecution? Let's not go out. Was he there? I don't think so. He was not there, because clearly when Jesus came, he was not with them. And if you look at his character, John 11 says that when Jesus had to go to a place to minister, to preach the gospel, it was very dangerous for him to go. And none of the disciples wanted to go. But Thomas raised up his hand and says, let us go with him so we may die with him. He was a bold guy. He was fearless. He said, I want to go with Jesus. Why should Jesus go alone? If I die, I die. So definitely, the man had character. He had the audacity to say, if I die, I die, I will go. Look at his ignorance also. John 15, when Jesus is comforting his disciples, saying that I'm going to my Father's house. I'm going to prepare mansions for you. And I will come back and take you to be with me. None of them ever asked a question, Jesus, where are you going? How are you going? What is this all about? But Thomas stood up and says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He was a bold guy. Probably in the class of 12, he felt dumb, but he asked that question. And now, when we come to the story in John 20, He clearly did not attend that first service after Easter. But he was said, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. And the other said, we have seen the Lord. His response was, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where his nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Wow. Whoa. That was bold. This guy had the guts to say, I refuse to take your faith. I refuse to take a secondhand faith. I will not settle in with your testimony. I want to experience it by myself. I won't believe until I meet Jesus. Not all the 10 got together. They would have given the testimony. They would have convinced him, but he refused. He says, I will not. That makes me think about our doubts. Is doubting sinful? Is every doubting sinful? Some of you are sitting and thinking like, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in Jesus. That's okay. Let me just give you 3 reasons. Doubt encourages us to rethink. Its purpose is to sharpen our questions and perhaps change it. Doubt can also pose us questions to get the right answer. So it's okay. But doubt is never meant to be a permanent condition. That's the problem with doubts. You can have your doubts, absolutely fine. Maybe your parents have been giving you the gospel. Maybe you've been reading the Bible and say, I don't believe it. My suggestion to you is, why don't you tell Jesus? Jesus, I'm full of these doubts. Would you clear it, God? I will not believe until you speak to me, God. That's what Thomas did. And look at what Jesus does to him. Matthew 20, verses 26, 27, it says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with him. Good, he didn't miss the church. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hands and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. It's amazing that Jesus did not leave him in his doubt. Jesus would have very well said, why should I come back for one person? But Jesus came. He came. He just came for that one person that day, for that service, just to talk to him and said, come on, Thomas. This is what you want? You can get it. Come, touch. Verse 28. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus told him, because you have seen and believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Suddenly, everything changed for Thomas. The moment he saw Jesus and Jesus saw him, Jesus invites him saying that, come Thomas, you want to touch? Come. And the Bible says that without even touching, he says, my Lord and my God. That's the highest confession that you can make about Jesus. It's equivalent to Yahweh in the Old Testament. He could have started with my Lord, but he said, my Lord, my God. And that's worship. That's the highest that you can attribute to the deity of Jesus Christ. He believed. He did not have to go and touch. He did not have to go and feel the nails. He believed and he worshiped. This morning time, no matter what your faith looks like, I want you to take encouragement from Thomas. He didn't stay in his doubts, but allowed Jesus to bring him to belief. Take encouragement that there are countless number of Christians who are struggling with their doubts. You're not alone, but don't stop there. Go a little further. Settle your doubts. Talk to Jesus. Read the Word of God. Why don't you just ask Jesus, God, help me. There are million stories even till today where people said, if you are the Lord, come. If you seek God with all your heart, he will show up. There is no way. There is no way that he will just reject you. Thomas teaches us two lessons. Jesus does not reject doubts that are honest and directed to belief. He will never. Second thing is, better to doubt out loud than to disbelieve in silence. Come on. He's not afraid of your doubts. He will come. He will talk. He will show up. But don't just sit there in your doubts. The second character I want to pick up is Peter excluded himself. Story is found in John 18. In fact, all the four Gospels. Peter was following Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, Jesus, if everyone deserts you, leaves you, I will not. He looks at Jesus and says, I'm going to die for you. Wow, good statement, bold statement. And when the soldiers came, everybody ran, including Peter. But this is what he does. He's following Jesus from a distance. If Jesus is there, he's following him. The gap is getting wider and wider to a point that Jesus is taken inside and he's outside warming himself. And when a simple question comes, are you one among the 12? He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. First denial, I don't know. The second one, when another question comes, are you one of the 12? He says, I don't know that man. And the third one, he's calling down curses on himself and swearing now. Whoa, Peter is swearing. I don't know the man. Totally denied it three times. And he remembered Jesus' words. Before the rooster crows three times, you will disown me. And one of the Gospels says that at that very moment, Jesus looked at Peter and Peter looked at him. I bet till his dying days, he wouldn't have forgotten that face and the look of Jesus. Peter, how come? But I told you so. You denied me. Peter leaves, but Peter weeps. He's weeping bitterly. He's ashamed. He's betrayed his master. He's denied him. He disowned him. Let me just tell you something. God's faithfulness can compensate for your greatest unfaithfulness. Many of us, many times, we have disowned Jesus. We have denied Jesus. I don't know Jesus. You don't even tell people that you're a Christian in your office or wherever you go. You don't even share your story. You deny Jesus in many ways. I don't know this man. Many times we curse Jesus. We bring curses on him saying that, why did I ever follow Jesus? But God is faithful. The story doesn't end there. And going back to John 20, when the ladies came and say, the tomb is empty. Starting from verse 6, then Simon Peter came along behind and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as a cloth that has been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went. He saw and believed, that is John. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciple went back to where they were staying. The story is that it was an Easter marathon. When the ladies came, they said, no way, we don't believe you. But yet they started running. John ran, Peter ran, but guess who won the match? It was John who reached there first. Definitely, Peter was not in a habit of running. But finally, he reached. And he straight goes into the tomb, saw the linen cloth there, lying there, the wrap which was there in his place. He saw and he walked off as if nothing happened. Very sad. He marveled. He was astonished, but in confusion, not in faith. That's sad. Come on, Peter, what happened to your instincts? When Jesus said, come, Peter, you walked on the water. You took the sword, cut off the ear. You would say things and then think, what did I say? You would do things and think, what did I do? What happened to you now? He is not in faith right now. I like verse 8 says, John saw and believed. But nothing is said of Peter. He saw, Like, okay. And he walked off home. Probably he had chicken biryani, mutton biryani, ate, slept, as if nothing happened on that Easter morning. Nothing. Story doesn't end there. John 21:17. Jesus comes to him. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he asked that question three times. Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. It was a restoration for Peter. Peter, it's okay you denied me. It's okay you didn't believe me that I rose from the dead. It's okay. Come on, Peter. Great things need to be done. Greater works. Come out. And it says, feed my sheep. This morning time, that call comes to you. Do you love me? I'm not saying that Jesus is asking you that question. Do you love me? And if your answer is yes, Jesus will say, come on, take care of my sheep. Take care of my people. Spread the gospel. Take care of the church. Take care of the fallen, the sick. Take care of the people who do not know Jesus. He's beckoning you. He's challenging you. If your answer is yes, come on, go, do it. Don't just sit there. Peter, I will make you fishers of men. Not just, this is very normal, Peter, because Peter was fishing. It says, come on, Peter, get up. Go, go, go. And the call comes to you. It is better to be a follower who fails than the one who fails to follow. It's okay. You missed it, you blew it, you denied it. Come along. And the third character this morning time I want to take is Judas executed himself. Anybody John here? John, your name is John. You don't have to come, just lift up your hands. Matthew, okay, thank you. Luke, Peter, couple of hands. Anybody Judas here? I'll wait for 30 seconds, no problem. Anybody Judas here? When was the last time a mother looked at the child and said, what a beautiful child, I will name you Judas? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Judas's mother was the first and the last. After that, that name was banned. Literally struck from the Bible, like, how can I name my child Judas? A name that Christians would love to hate, universally scorned, deleted. Nobody will probably ever name their child Judas. But yet, he was one of the 12 chosen. Absolutely. John 6 says, 70 and 71. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. Whoa. 71. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who though one of the 12 was later to betray him. Jesus knew from the beginning. This is John, early John. And he knew that he picked up Judas, very well knowing that he will betray. He says, devil. Whoa. Jesus, you called Peter also devil, but Peter came back. Thank God he didn't live like the devil and led like a devil and died like a devil. But Judas, from the beginning, Judas was actively involved. He saw all the miracles happening. He went two by two. He counted all the money that Jesus was getting. He was there when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, raised dead Lazarus, multiplied the bread. He was there all along. But yet, he chose the devil instead of Jesus. Okay, devil, you can have me. I will betray Jesus. Many of us are chosen here. You can be coming to church. You will be reading the Bible. You can do everything, but you are not fully surrendered to God. Or maybe you're walking 50-50. Okay, God, Monday to Friday, this is my life. Saturday and Sunday, holy day, I will put my foot in the church, live very righteously and nicely. Probably Judas did that. It's amazing to see that he walked with God himself. 3.5 years, not just 30 days, 3.5 years. Ate with him, slept with him, saw all that, and yet did not fully surrender to him. Can you put a price on Jesus? Can you sell Jesus off? Judas did 30 pieces of silver. Whoa. That should have been 300 probably, or 3,000. How did you so cheaply sold Jesus? 30 pieces of silver, that's the price of a slave. And you can look at Judas this morning and said, what a miserable fellow. Not because of the money lower. How could you sell Jesus? And I believe that we do that even till today. You can sell off Jesus for extra money, extra pleasure, pet sins, adultery, fornication, anything. We keep selling Jesus on a daily basis in our own lives, in many ways. Yet, we can look at Judas as a you miserable fellow. No, no, no. Some of us probably will quit church, quit on Jesus. I don't need you, Jesus. You're too much for me. I can't handle this Christian stuff. It's too much for me. I quit. I sell you off, Jesus. I'm walking off. Let me just tell you the story of Judas. Tells us nothing good can come out from selling off Jesus or giving up on Jesus. Nothing good will come. And I'll tell you why. He got the money. He bought a field. He thought he will do something great with his life. But nothing good, nothing good. The third thing we see is he ignored the warnings. In Luke 22, Jesus is saying, but the hand of him who's going to betray me is with me on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. But woe to the man who betrays him. He had warning after warning. I'm sure Jesus would have spoken to him privately, publicly, with the disciples he spoke. He did not heed to the warning. Here's a man who left everything to serve Jesus. Here's a man who had everything, but yet he possessed nothing. Here's a man who had a relationship with Jesus, but yet he was so empty. It didn't bother him at all. If he loved Jesus, if he took the warning, he should have turned around. It didn't. In fact, he took the money, sold Jesus. The fourth thing is, when Jesus said, somebody is going to betray me, everybody, Matthew 26 says, and Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely you don't mean me, rabbi or teacher. Jesus answered, you have said so. Everyone said, Lord, is it I? Is it I? He's the only guy who said, teacher or rabbi. He never said, Lord. You can clearly see that he was not even saved. Though he was saved, he didn't live like one. He took the money, bought a field, but threw the money, hung himself. Suicide, yeah? Straight to hell. What a waste. What a waste. Judas' story teaches us that if you don't finish the job, somebody else will. If you don't keep walking with Jesus with fear and trembling, God can choose another one. That's exactly what happened in Judas' case. After he hung himself, as he died, they selected another, Matthias, the 12th. Can you imagine? In Revelation 12, it talks about 12 pillars. His name would have been inscribed, Judas Iscariot. His pillar would be there. But he betrayed Jesus. He committed suicide. He was out. His name will be probably scratched. Another name will come out. Yes or no? Another one was chosen. What a waste. I hope that's not our story. Thomas excused himself. Peter excluded himself. But Judas executed himself. I just want to come to Mary now. But Mary encountered the risen Lord. Mary was from Magdala. It was a famous village. It was known for prostitution there. Jesus casted 7 devils out of her. I don't want to name her, but definitely her life was not good. Nobody wanted to be with her, around her. But her life transformed when Jesus comes and heals her and delivers her. And she becomes an ardent disciple of Jesus. She was there when his own disciples were not there at the crucifixion. She was faithfully standing at the cross, seeing all the whipping and the scorching and the suffering and the spitting and the nailing. She was there. She was grieving. She was there when the body was taken down. She was there where it was laid. She followed Jesus wholeheartedly. John 20 says, while it was still dark, she ran to the tomb. She was the first to show up at the tomb. First one. Nobody else came. She was there. Definitely other women came along a little later, but she was the first to show up there. She was the first to see the risen Lord. It's amazing. You show up first, definitely there's a reward. There is a reward for her faithfulness. The women came with the spices, wrong reason, but they came. Oh, Jesus is not there. They've gone back home. The disciples came, John and Peter. Oh, Jesus is not there. They went back home, but she stood there. She stood there waiting, crying, weeping. And no wonder Jesus turns around and said, how can I miss her? I should come. Important, he comes to her. She was the first to recognize his voice. John 20, 16. Jesus calling Mary. And to her amazement, she jumps up. That's the voice of Jesus. Rabboni in Aramaic. Teacher, master. She went and clung to him. She clung to him so tightly, like, Jesus, oh, let me go, let me go. I need to go up, then I'll come back. Don't hold on to me so tightly, Mary. It's okay. Don't get so emotional. I'll come back. I'll be here for 40 days. She clung to him. She didn't want to let him go. What an honor. The disciples did not get that, a woman. That time, in the Jewish courts and law, they would not ever bring a lady to give testimony. Oh, you're a lady? Okay, we don't believe you. Don't even come and give testify. That's how it is. And Jesus chooses a woman, not even a great disciple, but a great worshiper, and says, come on. The moment he calls her name, everything changes for her. From God, Yahweh, to Father, to Heavenly Father, and all that, it just says, Master. Jesus will call out your name if you seek him, if you wait along. If you're not in a rush. She was the first to share the gospel. Jesus says, go tell my brothers and tell Peter. I like that part. Go tell my brothers. Go ahead. I'm going to meet you. Go and tell. So the first evangelist was not a man, but it was a lady. Was not the disciples, but a follower of Jesus. She goes. And she does a great job. Nobody believes her. That's the second story. But she does her part. They at least came to the tomb. As I conclude and the worship team comes, the stone was not rolled back so that Jesus could come out, but so others could come in and see that Jesus was indeed risen from the dead, just as he promised. And it's up to you and me. When we walk into this empty tomb, in spite of 2,000 years of evidence and witness, people still refuse to believe. What more will it take? Your doubts, your excuses, your denial. That's all okay. Jesus can handle that. But if you just execute yourself, if you just die like that and just walk away, you will be where Judas is. But come to Jesus this morning time. I like what Luke 24 talks about, the ascension of Jesus. He was with them. He gave them a promise. Verse 50 says, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted his hands and blessed them. Wow. There were 500 people there, the disciples. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So Jesus not only just rose from the dead, but he was also ascended to heaven. And that brings me to my last scripture. And I told you we'll get to that. Matthew 28, and this is the KJV. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Amen. This is the lo I'm talking about. And that lo is, Jesus said, I am with you. To the end of the age, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you. From the low Sunday to the promise of Jesus, lo, I will be with you. And it all depends on your answer. This morning time, as you bow down your head and as we get into a time of the communion, I want you to just whisper a prayer and say, Jesus, I believe. I believe in you, God. I believe that you died and you rose again for me. And that's why I do what I do, to participate in your body and in the blood. I believe, therefore I do this. I believe. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me, Lord. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking time to listen. If you would like more information about our church or would like to make a comment, please mail us at info@newlifeag.in. God bless you.